And now, live from the Eagle Newsroom in Bryan, it's Aggie Nation, covering Aggie football since the first game in 1894 and every game since. Talking all things A&M and all the pro and high school sports you want to hear. Aggie Nation on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Afternoon, and what a beautiful day it is, Krum. Welcome to Aggie Nation. You have to turn your microphone on, Krum.
No, you've got to. You're in charge.
You grabbed the wrong one. You have the broken one. So, classic. Well, now don't switch, because I've already got that one on now. Anyway, Krum, got to get organized over here. I'm too busy celebrating to deal with your...
I just sit here and you run the show.
I'm too busy celebrating to deal with your cords and knobs and wires and stuff over there. So you got to get it figured out. Welcome to Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, Richard Krum. We are brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the great events coming to the season that dreams are made of at mscopus.org. Tickets for all those great events and shows and all the information about them is there at mscopus.org. You can give us a call, 693-1150. You can text us, 229-1939. And with my Astros brother, Louis Bellina, we're sandwiched in between Rangers fans, Krum. We've got Gabe in the morning and Chip afterwards, but in the middle of the day, it's all Astros. I don't know the Studio 12 guys. I don't know if they've pledged their allegiance one way or the other.
I thought Louie was a Cubs fan.
Well, we don't count that. It doesn't matter. As long as you have one of the two, we don't care about other teams, Krum.
Oh, well, okay.
But they did it. They actually won. So now they're in like the real playoffs. It was sort of like, would it count if they lost? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
But no, but now it counts. They're for real. They're actually in, Krum.
They get to play a game at home. I guess that would be like the thing. If you get to play a playoff game at home, then you're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
If you get a game in.
And
they play in the playoffs
tomorrow night, and then Friday afternoon, and then Sunday back in Houston. Which, by the way, tickets are incredibly hard to come by for that thing. Already did a little peek in to see what the possibility might be there.
So, yeah, it's amazing.
Well,
you got a winner.
Yeah. Well, they do. They have one now. So I couldn't.
A couple years back, you could go there for $4.
That's the thing. Just it was one of those deals where last night, I know on the surface, and I truly thought the Astros, frankly, I think are better than the Rangers this year. But I know the record was one game worse. But and so I thought they had a good shot at winning. But then to actually be after the game and thinking, like, I can't believe they actually did this. Like, for how bad they've been. And I know that was part of the plan. They were intentionally bad for a while. But to get this good this quickly, I think surprised even the people on the staff. It had to, right? I mean, all of a sudden they're, like, in the wild card with a bunch of kids compared to the rosters of some of the other teams.
Was it Sports Illustrated that said that they would be
the 2017 World Series champions? Yeah. So they got 2 years to get to the World Series. Yeah. The era of the Astros is upon us, Krum, is all I'm saying.
I think it also says is when you got some young talent these days, I think young talent comes along a little faster than it used to.
And frankly, if you have a dominant pitcher, you've always got a chance.
Well,
if you've got a 20-game winner, then you've got a shot. And I think
in a one-game playoff.
Well, and I mean, just been over the course of the season. If you've got a top-end guy, he can make up for a lot of your shortcomings in games that he's pitching.
Yeah, and
Keuchel did that.
Losing streaks don't happen very often. And
I was wondering before this, and I know the Astros didn't really set up their rotation for the postseason, but I was wondering if against the Royals, if you wouldn't rather have Keuchel pitching game 3 or 4 anyway back in Houston. I don't know if it's the ballpark or what it is that he's been so good at home. But I think rather than, and I don't have the exact numbers here, so someone's going to text me and say, like, you're an idiot for all these reasons. But let's say that, you know, Keuchel versus the other guy heads up game 1. You've got a, and I'm assuming the Royals' main guy is pretty good. So let's say you've got a 60-40 chance of winning with the Royals at home. You know, for the Astros, you'd be 40-60. You think the Royals have a 60% chance. Would you rather throw another guy that maybe makes it 65-35, knowing that having Keuchel in game three makes that game, you know, 70-30, having him at home.
Yeah, but with the Royals, their starting staff's not good. I mean, it's the worst of the teams that made the playoffs. It's the worst ERA-wise. So I'm not sure they have.
That's what I'm saying.
But I'm not sure they have the, you know.
Do the Astros have the edge anyway?
Yeah, I think no matter who he's going to be pitching against, he's got more than a 65-35 chance.
I don't know. In baseball, I don't. It was just hypothetical numbers. But yeah. I was just saying if it wouldn't be beneficial to hold him back in the rotation anyway. But
well, it is too bad that, I mean, for them, that he won't get to pitch two games.
Probably. He might. He could pitch three and. Because he could pitch Sunday. Last night, he could pitch Tuesday, Sunday. And then he could probably turn around and pitch, if they got to a game seven, he'd potentially pitch that one, right?
Well, is there a game seven in this series?
I don't know how these things work, Crew.
No, I think the first series is 3 out of 5.
I don't
follow baseball as much anymore, but and I know it used to be that way.
You are not helpful.
The first series used to be 3 out of 5.
Well, Kroom, I don't think...
Whether it is now, since they've changed the format,
well,
I don't know.
Well, he could still... I just don't know how the dates are laid out. I think it is 5.
Then he can only put you do one.
My question is more, how do the days work out? But I don't know. I don't know. No clue. We'll see. I haven't paid attention to the playoffs in like 10 years, so I gotta figure out how it's all figured. I don't know. We don't know. All right, Kroom, you fired up about anything? You were fired up before the show about the Seahawks. It's Wednesday. You got to get fired up about something.
I just get so mad that the Seahawks win football games the way they do. It just...
Why?
I don't know. I'm just not a big fan. They just seem to, you know, win games that they shouldn't. And it makes me mad. That's all.
That's the least fired up fire up of all time. You're like,
well,
I don't know.
I've kind of gotten
mad.
The reason is because
like,
I've kind of gotten
like
over it now. I mean, it's you know, it's a couple days old,
and someone texted. Yeah. I know that now people are catching up. We're a little bit ahead, so people catch up as we go along. I know I looked it up as you were talking. I know it's a 5-game series,
yes.
But
that's
obviously,
what I said.
And I
wasn't totally sure because once they went to the extra playoff team. How they did it, but I can't see them doing. Otherwise, we'd be playing baseball games in November, middle of November.
I'm surprised we don't.
Only the beginning of November, but the middle of it.
Anyway, but yeah. So in that case, obviously, you wish Chicago could pitch game one. But anyway, it's gonna be fine. They're not gonna need 5 games. They're only gonna need 3. It's all right.
Okay.
I'm that level of confident, Kroom. What else we got going on?
I'm confident the Astros can win too. Like I told you earlier, I don't think there's a. There's not a superior team in the American League. I think that there's...
Not on the Blue Jays wagon? They've been pretty good since the trade deadline.
Yeah, but, I mean, they're not great. I just think that there's no team in there where you just kind of go, yeah, they're almost a shoo-in. You know, no one's a shoo-in ever, but...
There's no Cardinals in the American League.
Yeah, and even the Cardinals have struggled a little bit down the wire. You know, maybe it's because they were already in. Maybe it's... I don't know. But they're pitching, including, unfortunately... Michael Wacha struggled down at the end.
Well, we will see. Who knows? I honestly don't. I don't know anything about any of the National League teams. I don't care really. I know the Cardinals are cheaters, and that's all I really care about. If we have to play the Cardinals in the World Series, the shenanigans are already there. They've already been laid out. There's been season-long shenanigans by the Cardinals. Kroom, I was hoping you'd have something to be fired up about because I'm so. Excited that the Astros won. That plus I get to see my Colts tomorrow night. I'm going down to Colts Texans in Houston.
Yeah, are you excited about that? I mean,
yeah. Why not? Luck's gonna play.
Okay.
Get back above 500, which is a big step in any season. Get a little 3-game win streak.
Speaking of way teams win games, they lucked out too, didn't they?
No, they outlucked. Get it? Because they didn't have luck.
They were.
You don't get it.
But they weren't out of luck.
No.
Because they they shouldn't have won their game either.
If you're a Jags fan, how would you be a Jags fan, I think, is my big question.
Right next door to the stadium? I don't know.
I don't. Because like it's just.
Live down.
They're
live
horrible.
On that river that's, you know, down by where we were when.
They lost.
Go to the NCAA tournament.
They lost to a Colts team, which is not a very good Colts team anyway. Quarterback by Matt Hasselbeck.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, I would just give up. I'd be like, forget it. Nope, I'm out for this season. I'm gonna go watch golf or something. I don't know what people watch in Jacksonville, but golf seems like something.
Yeah, it would be something.
Yeah. So I'm not too fired up by anything. Y'all tell us what y'all are fired up about. 229-1939.
Yeah, because it's even a bye week.
Well, that's the thing. There's a bye week, and there's not a lot of things to be fired up about. But I'm sure the fans out there have got some stuff. Hit us up. Your topics, your questions, your comments, your debates, whatever you want us to settle on the show. Probably not any in American League Divisional Series formatting questions. We've already shown that we don't know anything about the playoffs because it's uncharted water. This, by the way, this guy last night, I was at the corner watching the game, and this guy comes up to me and goes, "Man, I was 13 the last time the Astros won a postseason game." And I was like, "Dude, I was 20. I mean, like, that's how long ago this was. I couldn't have ordered a drink in the corner the last time the Astros won a playoff game. I could have gone to the corner because it's like 18 and up, but I couldn't have ordered anything.
You know,
it's been forever, Krim.
Yeah, it's been a while, but you know what? I think it just seems longer because they were so bad for so many years. Because I mean, I guess you should be in the playoffs more than every 10 years. But,
yeah.
But there's a lot of teams that haven't been in the playoffs for a longer
time. There's two reasons it seems like a long time. One, 10 years is a long time. The other is that they were in the World Series. It wasn't like they made it into the wild card round and got knocked out. The last time they were in the playoffs was the World Series year. So I think that's a big part of it, too, is that they had such a magical run that year, and then now they haven't done anything since. So it's been a long while. But I was like, yeah, don't talk to me about being 13 last time. I was in college watching. In fact, I watched Game 4 of the White Sox series with some friends of mine, that because we were all in the Century Singers. Like, that's how long ago that was, is I was still in Century Singers at Texas A&M. So I don't want to hear about it. You're all kids. We know they were all kids, all that kind of stuff. All right, we got to get to our first
40s.
Break.
Wow.
You were like in your 80s last time.
No, I was in my 40s.
All right, hit us up, 229-1939. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Krum, you haven't had your shared your thoughts yet on A&M Mississippi State. I thought we'd talk about that a little bit. And then our big my big text question for the day is, who are A&M fans for in the Oklahoma-Texas game? Because there's an obvious answer, but then there's a, if you think A&M is really, really good answer, then it might not be the same answer. So I'm interested in who y'all are for in that game. Hit us up, 229-1939. We'll break it all down and stay with us. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
It's the best time of year to buy from the best farm and tractor retailer in the Brazos Valley, Norman G. Tractor. Get zero down payment, 0% financing, top dollar for your trade-in, and free delivery. Get the Kubota L2501F 25-horsepower two-wheel drive tractor with a 5-foot Land Pride shredder and a 5-foot Land Pride box blade with teeth. And $2,250 in rebates for only $11,245 or $160 per month. Want your tractor to do even more? Well, try the Kubota L2501 HST 25-horsepower tractor with four-wheel drive, Kubota front-end loader, 5-foot Land Pride shredder, and box blade with teeth. Get $2,250 in rebates. Pay only $18,145 or $231 per month. Why buy used when you can buy new with payments as low as these? That's why Norman G. Tractor is known as the place to shop for all of your tractor, utility vehicle, and lawn equipment needs. Shop online at normangtractor.com, corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Norman G. And remember, nobody beats Norman G. Tractor. Nobody.
Merry Christmas!
Does your Christmas wish list include a store full of Christmas shoppers? To make sure your business has a Merry Christmas, you need a partner capable of delivering a powerful marketing message full of holiday cheer. That partner is Brazos Family Magazine, a local publication filled exclusively with local articles. For more information about Brazos Family Magazine, contact Santa's Elves at Brian Broadcasting.
There is so much happening in Aggie football this fall, you need to be attending the best live show around to stay up to date and on top of all things Aggie football. It happens every Monday and Thursday from noon till 1 at the Tap, and it's called the Belucci Hour. Get recruiting insight from Billy Lucci and Bryce Jones of Texax Radio every week, twice a week this fall. Plus, enjoy the Tap's delicious $7.99 lunch specials with all the bells and whistles. Make the Belucci Hour lunch a part of your week every Monday and Thursday from noon till 1.
Hey, neighbor, it's me, that guy two desks away that never takes a sick day. Seriously, you could always count on me to show up, even if I feel terrible. Which reminds me, I have the flu, and if you're one of the 63% of people that didn't get their flu shot, you can get it from me. You really should get a flu shot at Rite Aid, where you'll also get a free cold and flu protection plan to protect you from people like me. Another reason Rite Aid says with us, it's personal.
Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacist for details.
Discounted tickets for the Brazos Valley Fair and Rodeo are now available. Get your carnival wristband special before October 11th. Available at Cavender's, Producers Co-op, and online at BrazosValleyFair.com. It's more than you imagined. October 16th, 17th, and 18th.
If you're a high school senior with perfect attendance this year, you could win a new Scion from Atkinson Toyota Scion.
Sign up at AtkinsonItPaysToStay.com.
Talking football, college and pro, each Friday with Braden Gall of Athlon Sports. And only on the Louis Belina Show, powered by TeamOfNavasota.com.
Welcome back. Cool, we always talk about MSC Opus, but today we actually have some MSC Opus tickets to give away. How about that?
All right, good.
And we're not going to make you guys
to which show?
Jump through hoops. All you got to do is just call 693-1150. It's two tickets for the Swan Brothers, who are playing Friday night over there at Rudder Auditorium over there on campus. So give us a call, 693-1150, and you can win two tickets to that. You'll have to come over here to the Eagle to get them, but we're not exactly outside of town. We're right here on Briarcrest. So there you go. Give us a call, 693-1150, and whoever calls first or second or whatever Sean decides over there can have those. So there you go. You can check that out on Friday.
Don't leave it up to Sean.
Well, you know, I'll leave it up to Sean. Okay. He needs some more responsibility, Krim, so I'll give him a little bit there.
I saw Sean play tennis the other day. He's pretty good.
Oh, my God. Back to the tennis thing. That's what I'm fired up about. We don't want to hear about tennis. You just do that to get me fired up, don't you?
Yeah, well, it's Wednesday. I'm trying to get get under your skin somehow.
All right. Let's talk A&M and Mississippi State. Groom, you did a column. You did stories. What was your big take on the game? Anything that's not been said over the last few days that you thought, that's something I thought about this game that no one's really talked about yet?
Well, it was – I don't know if I thought about it that night, and I think I put it in a little bit of a note, but it was something that I was – if you want to say most impressed with, was the fact that when Mississippi State had a chance to tie the game after, you know, when they had a possession where they could have actually, if they would have gone down and scored a touchdown, they could have tied the game. Twice that happened after the first quarter, and both times A&M forced three and outs. And I thought that's a good sign for when you got to step up. The defense had to step up. And it's not like they didn't play good the rest of the time, or well the rest of the game. But when they really had to step up, you know, keep the lead, get the ball back to the offense, that's what they did. And to me, that was most impressive, especially, you know, what we've seen in the past. It's almost like in the past you had to stay ahead by scoring every time.
Yeah.
Now you don't have to worry about that as much, and that's got to be huge.
I wrote a blog on this today that just went up at myaggienation.com if you want to check it out. But one thing, and I know Gabe jumped on it pretty early, is the havoc rate thing. People have been talking about – I'd never even heard of this until this summer. And basically, it's a stat. It's what I hate the term advanced statistics because it's just statistics. But it's an advanced stat because it combines some other stats. It's tackles for loss, PBUs, forced fumbles – per play, basically, how many of those, what percentage of your plays do you get one of those? And A&M's defense ranks 12th in the nation. Now, a lot of fans have jumped on this stat because it's the one stat that is better than last year. Otherwise, they're pretty much on par with last year's defense. Points allowed, yards per play, those sort of things. They're really on par with last year. mainly because...
Are they really on par, though? I mean,
they're slightly ahead.
But the two games where they've played the same team, they've done better.
They didn't do a whole lot better against Arkansas.
No, but I mean, points, they did a little better.
Yeah. But for the most...
Mississippi State, they did much better.
Yeah, but it's been, pretty close, the other stats are. And their S&P Plus defense rating is almost exactly the same as where it was this time. But the havoc rate, the so-called havoc rate, is up a whole lot. And this is one thing people have pointed to. But I'm not... And this isn't to say that the havoc rate thing doesn't matter. But to me, it's just a different way of getting things done that just seems to work better for this year's A&M defense. And my point there being that you don't need advanced stats or a graphing calculator to see that A&M's defense is better than it was last year. It obviously is. They tackle better. They are more aggressive. They get turnovers, which is a big change from last year. But the thing that I thought was so interesting, and it's
they,
because
and you can see the confidence they're playing with too.
Yeah, I mean,
after plays, they're going nuts. They're jumping up and down, and it's not a forced thing like I think sometimes it was last year when they did something good. It's just naturally after almost every play that they're doing well.
I compared it to is Snyder's defense. And this is why I thought we'd bring this up, because maybe you'll agree, maybe you'll disagree. But I compared it to my blog. I think Snyder's defense, or what he was going for, was, hey, we don't have very many good players on defense. What we're going to do is make the opponent run a bunch of plays and see if they make a mistake eventually. And I compared it to a little bit what Mark Turgeon liked to do in basketball, which is not necessarily go for steals. A&M was never a good steal team, a turnovers team under Turgeon. They never had a lot of transition points or anything. But they forced the opponent to take shots they didn't necessarily want to take. You know, they played the passing lanes. It wasn't a real aggressive style of defense in the sense of, you know, going for the ball and things like that. But what it was you forced the opponent to make mistakes, whether late in the shot clock, if the mistake was a shot that guy shouldn't have been taking, whatever it was, you try to let the other team make mistakes. Now, obviously, Turgeon's defense at A&M was a lot more successful doing that than what Snyder's was the last couple years. But on a philosophical level, I think those are similar. Chavis has gone the other way, and I called it in my blog A&M's 40 minutes of hell defense. And they're basically going Nolan Richardson on this thing, Kroom, and they're essentially a football equivalent of full court pressing the other team. And they're going to try to force you into mistakes with pressure. They're going to sack you. They're going to hopefully fumble the ball. They're going after the football. And it's two different ways of getting it done. I just think that with the personnel they have this year, Deshaun Hall and Myles Garrett, and the speed they have, I think, in the secondary a little bit, that it's working a whole lot better. Philosophically, I can see what both guys are thinking. This just happens to, I think, fit A&M a whole lot better than Snyder's did a year ago. Do you kind of get what I'm saying there?
Yeah, I do, and I agree with you to an extent. I think part of it was Snyder's defense was set up so that his guys wouldn't make a mistake because they were so young. It was almost like he didn't want them to make them, you know, the mistake where it was obvious it was this guy's
fault.
Right,
and that's kind of what I'm saying.
So they could, but they would still get they'd still give up yards because they weren't attacking. They were just making sure they didn't get burned.
Right,
each person got burned. And now, I'm one of those guys who, yes, Chavis is good, and I agree with everything. I mean, everything everyone says about how much he's improved them and all that. But I think this team, I think this defense would be improved anyway, even under Snyder, because the better players have gone through a year of the SEC. This is their second year in the SEC, and there's some good players out there that are sophomores. You look at I do that Unsung Heroes thing, and one week, I can't remember which one it was, but we have to put down like what year they are, what position they play and stuff like that, so everybody can recognize them all. And I looked at it and I went, wow, my first four guys are defensive players that were sophomores. You know, so, I mean, it's you just, like we said, that one year of experience is, I mean, because if you're a freshman that doesn't play and then you're a sophomore that does, you're not going to improve as much from your freshman to sophomore year as you are a freshman who does play and then a sophomore who does.
Well, yeah, and that's kind of what was my point. Like, you know, I think if Snyder was still the coordinator, I think they would be improved also, But they'd be improved in different ways. They go about it very differently. And I think that my whole thing, though, is because for years people have been calling the air raids and all the different things. Basketball on grass, right? We hear that all the time about the air raid systems and some of these vertical passing attacks. And I think it's kind of funny that, to me, Chavis's defense is sort of a basketball on grass. They press. You're going to have to make a great play. Or not a great play, but you're going to have to make a good play to beat them. They're not just going to let you have it. To where Snyder would give up. My example is against Arkansas, Snyder's defense might have given up 10 plays of 8 yards. Chavis's might give up 5 plays of 15 yards or whatever, but they're going to get 4 plays of negative
yardage. They're going to put you behind the chains.
And I think with A&M's offense, I think this is a good idea. And I wonder if this is a – I know it is a conscious decision, but I think the thing is if you – they don't need to be good all the time. They don't have to stop the opponent the whole game. If they get a couple turnovers in the first half with A&M's offense against most teams, the game's going to be over. And I think it's an interesting dynamic to see that kind of defense paired with this kind of offense, because we just haven't seen it very often. I liked the basketball analogy because that's how I make sports analogies, really. But that was what I thought of when I was writing this thing, was that it's like Chavis knows, hey, our defense isn't going to be good by the numbers. It's not going to be one of those dominating LSU defenses where they come out and they hold you to 127 yards.
A year away from that.
Yeah, and they're not that this year. What they are now is they have some skilled players, and it's you know, we know we're not a great defense, we're not a good defense yet, but we can make great.
I think they can say they're a good defense.
Well, they're average by the numbers. Right. By the total numbers, they're mediocre. And mediocre is a whole lot better than bad. We talked about that yesterday with Sam, that overall numbers, they're pretty mediocre. I think they're in the 40s and 50s in most things, which is a whole lot better than the hundreds. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, they may not be great on defense, but they can make great plays. And I think that's an interesting thing that they've decided to do. And I think we saw that some on Saturday. Yeah, they're going to give up some running lanes to Dak Prescott, but they're going to hit him a few times too. And I don't know. To me, it's an interesting look at coaching, really, and the way that Chavis has done it this year.
Yeah, it would have been it would have been interesting to see, and I know people are going, well, it wouldn't have been interesting to see. We want Chavis here, which I agree with. But, you know, if you're a defensive coordinator and you look at the defensive ends that A&M has, Snyder would have had to have changed somewhat, made it more attacking. Because, I mean, you got to play to your personnel, as they say. And I think that's – Chavis is always going to attack.
Yeah.
Snyder, I think, would have played more to his personnel, and he had to have seen that was where – they could be. If you're going to be attacking with those defensive ends, that's the best chance we have. You'd like to think that. What I'm saying is, if Snyder was still here, it would be different, but I don't think it would be as different as it was last year to this year.
See, I don't know. I think Chavis's style is really different. And part of it is the personnel fits Chavis's maybe more than it fits Snyder's. The other thing is, Snyder's defense is really geared towards linebackers, and A&M just doesn't have any. And so even now, I don't know exactly what that defense would look like with those guys back there, especially with the injury problems they had. So it's hard to say what the defense looked like if Snyder was coaching, because that was its main problem last year. There was no linebackers, and they're still having problems at linebacker. To where Chavis is more about the ends and corners, and so the linebackers aren't as important, and so it just happens to work out that it's working for him. So I don't know. Like I said, just to kind of a couple thoughts on the defense that I was noticing looking at some of those stats. All right, we need to go to break. I want y'all to keep hitting us up. What are y'all's things y'all want to talk about, your debates, your questions for us, football, basketball, non-sports related, we don't care. Hit us up, 229-1939, and we'll be back. It's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. It won't be until this afternoon before a Brazos County District Court jury starts discussing the punishment of convicted capital murderer Gabriel Hall.
Lawyers were expecting to take at least 3 hours to make their final arguments. That did not get started on time due to Hall's lawyers raising more than 40 pages of last-minute objections. Jury was instructed that 2 unanimous votes were required for execution, which is sought by the prosecution. First, the jury must decide Hall's a continuing threat to society. Then the jury must decide there are no mitigating circumstances to warrant Hall receiving life without parole, which is sought by the defense. Bill Oliver, Newstalk 1620, WTAW.
Some College Station school district teachers and students are affected by a world geography textbook that was criticized by a mother of a Pearland student.
Immigrants. Yeah, that word matters. Immigrants. The Atlantic slave trade between the 1500s and the 1800s brought millions of workers from Africa to the southern United States to work on agricultural plantations.
The call out by Ronnie Dean Burin has led to the publisher pledging to change its textbook in hard copy and online. College Station ISD spokesman Chuck Glenwinkle says they are waiting for substitute materials from the publisher and for more information. The textbook is not used in the Bryan School District. The Bryan School Board has agreed to let administrators look into a possible change at future high school graduation ceremonies. Board member Kelly Levy asked to give parents who are employed by the district the option of giving their children their diplomas. Superintendent Tommy Wallace says high school administrators are open to investigating the idea. Levy says a trade-off for parents would be sitting closer to the stage and not with their families. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Join the Brazos Valley Museum of Natural History for the Boonville Days Heritage Fair, Saturday, October 10th. Enjoy this free celebration of our heritage from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Activities will take place inside the museum and on the Brazos Center grounds. Learn about Brazos County's pioneer history, visit with characters in period costume, observe demonstrations of frontier skills and trades, see an authentic stagecoach, hear from a cowboy poet, and much more. Our activity area will keep children busy learning to make pinch pots and other period crafts. Boonville Days Heritage Fair, Saturday, October 10th at the Brazos Museum of Natural History, located at the Brazos Center.
Attention parents with special needs children. Power Sports is now offering a special needs competitive cheerleading team, and it's completely free. Power Sports' new special needs program is a great way to get your child involved in activities which will help them improve on motor skills, communication, team building exercises, and more. For more information on the Power Sports special needs program, call Power Sports at 979-776-0018 or check them out on the web at PowerSportsKids.com.
Aggie fans, the Kevin Sumlin Radio Show is at Rudy's Barbecue on Harvey Road for the 2015 football season. Show features the coach, questions from the floor as he joins the fans to talk some Aggie football. It's 7 o'clock, Rudy's Barbecue on Harvey Road each Tuesday night. Of course, you'll hear it all here on the Aggie Radio Network. But we'll see you at Rudy's each Tuesday at 7. It's the Kevin Sumlin Radio Show. Come and join us for 1 hour of all things Texas A&M football.
It's no tricks and all treats, plus lots of fun for the entire family. The George Bush Presidential Library and Museum, Atkinson Toyota, and The Zone invite you to a costume contest and trick-or-treating event on Sunday, October 25th from 3 to 6 p.m. This free, fun, and safe event is for children of all ages. Gather goodies, plus play games on the Presidential Plaza and participate in the costume contest for prizes. Sunday, October 25th from 3 to 6 p.m. at the George Bush Presidential Museum, presented by Atkinson Toyota, with special thanks to HEB, The Eagle, The Farm Patch, Catalina Hatters, and UPA.
He plays all your favorite songs.
One great song after another.
Chip Howard Sports Talk. Weekdays 4 to 6.
Yeah.
And only on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Singing along over there,
she's moving,
yeah.
She's grooving.
Krim's, one of Krim's jams. All right, welcome back.
Just dated myself there. Of course, you date myself every.
I date you. I can't date yourself.
Well, I was just playing on words there.
Losing it, Krim. That's what happens when you get old. See how I did that? Came back around.
Yeah.
I doubled down on it. It's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Aubrey Bloom, Richard Krim. All right, we asked a while ago, and I thought this would be an interesting topic, and that's who are A&M fans for in Oklahoma, Texas this weekend? And y'all can hit us up, 229-1939.
Does it really matter who they're for? Because, I mean, there's one team you don't win.
But that's what the whole thing, though, right? I'm interested in who they're – and here's the thing. People can say they're for one team, and I guarantee you – that deep down in their heart, if Oklahoma starts smoking Texas, they're going to love it. I mean, that's the whole thing. But I'm wondering if anyone is able to get past that, the just vitriolic hate for Texas, in order to go, you know, like, if Texas were to upset Oklahoma, not going to happen, but if they were, that's one more team out of the way. And whether it's A&M or whether it's someone else in the SEC, whatever it is, without a championship game, without a championship game in the Big 12, there's very few opportunities for those teams to lose, for Oklahoma, Baylor, and TCU to pick up losses. So I wonder if anyone is able to have the logic enough to go, you know what, it's probably better for us and better for the league if Oklahoma loses. But I don't think so. I think everybody's going to be hoping. Here's the thing, though. I think people only want Oklahoma to win if Oklahoma can win by 40 points. You know, if they absolutely blow them out.
If they just win in a ho-hum type.
Nobody wants to see OU win.
38-10 or something like that.
Well, 38-10 is pretty good. 38-17. Nobody wants to see Oklahoma win 20-10. You know, if they're going to do that, they might as well lose, right? I mean, that's what I imagine most people are going to say. Someone texted OU all the way. Let's keep this beautiful dumpster fire roaring. Someone said, Red River, I'm counting on OU, Baylor, and TCU giving each other a loss, so I'll be quote-unquote rooting for the Chuck Wagon Boomers Saturday. It's Chris and Cibolo. And someone else said, never the Horns. Yeah, you don't necessarily be rooting for Texas as much as rooting against Oklahoma, I guess.
I think the fans that are like what you said, you know, get a team a loss so they can get them out of the way. I think that'll come later for Oklahoma in the year. So why worry about it?
They've
right
already
now?
Cleared West Virginia, who is probably, I think, the fourth best.
But, you know, they cleared them at home. I mean, so
that's what I'm saying. But I mean, how many chances are left? Baylor and TCU. Someone
Tech? Do they get Tech?
I think they get Tech in Lubbock. I think, but
That's
one game.
Well, there you go. I mean, the A&M fans, they kind of like to cheer for Cliff.
No, they get Tech at Norman.
Oh, that might be a little trouble.
Yeah.
But still. A&M fans like to cheer for Cliff, so.
Well, there's no doubt there for
going,
Tech.
Hey, let's wait and let Tech beat Oklahoma.
There's no doubt there for Tech next week against Oklahoma. The thing is, and the problem of counting on that three game stretch there is, what if the same team wins all those games? That's the problem. Someone has to win, and if you're only talking two games, they could very well win both. And OU kind of has a little bit of a wonky schedule. They close in a flurry. They play at Baylor, then TCU the next week, then at Oklahoma State, who is not a great team but is capable of beating Oklahoma, I think. So to me, I'm just wondering if you'd rather get Oklahoma out of the way at all, or if it's, and I know I knew what the answer was going to be, Kroon, but if there's any sort of part of you that is like, part of me is for Texas to get Oklahoma out of the way a little bit. But no, it's not. Someone said, here's the text we've gotten. If both teams could lose, it would be ideal. Otherwise, it's the only time I'll root for Oklahoma. Richard from College Station said, nope, can't do it. Saw him off. Someone said, only one Big 12 team can go undefeated, so it doesn't matter. Go OU. And then someone said they're an SMU fan. Texas getting curb stomped, never a bad thing by any team, is what they said. By the way, SMU playing tomorrow night down in Houston, too. We were going to maybe go to that game, but now instead I'm going to the Texans-Colts game tomorrow. But, I don't know. I said, I thought it would be an interesting thing to see if anyone was like that. Otherwise, Oklahoma's going to be there for the long haul. They're not losing anytime soon. Their stretch of those games, Baylor, TCU, and Oklahoma State, doesn't start till November 14th. Their upcoming schedule, K-State, Tech, Kansas, Iowa State. So, if the Sooners clear this one and look good, they're going to be around for a while.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter how long you're around for. It's just as long as you're not around at the end.
Well, yeah, that's what Steven talked about yesterday, was being around there at the end. I don't know. Like I said, it's going to be interesting. The Big 12, to me, is an interesting conference, because I think most of the teams in it are better than they were a year ago. I think West Virginia is better. I think Tech's better. I think Oklahoma State is better. The problem is the bad teams. Texas is worse, and I think probably
Kansas is definitely worse.
Yeah, but they were winless anyway,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but they're worse than winless.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, the teams that are bad are worse than they were a year ago, but the league overall, I think, is better. The problem is those teams in that middle tier are a huge drop-off from the teams in that top tier. I mean, Oklahoma just...
Yeah, the disparity, if you grouped it into three groups, the disparity between each group is bigger this year.
It's massive.
Than it was last year.
I don't know if anyone in Group 3 can beat anyone in Group 2, and I don't think anyone in Group 2 can beat anyone in Group 1. It's part of the problem. And, yeah, I'm putting Texas in Group 3. I don't think they can beat.
What, I mean, Tech gave us, you know, you still got to give credit to Tech. I mean,
yeah, well, Tech gave,
they gave,
Tech
they gave a
close.
Group 1 team.
Yeah, they gave them all they could handle.
Yeah.
And at the same time, what's kind of interesting is, and the reason I say Texas is definitely in Group 3, I would feel if someone said, all right, you've either what's more likely, Texas losing to Iowa State or beating, and I'd say the worst team in that second group is probably K-State or Oklahoma State, beating K-State, which I'd say is the worst of Tier 2, I'd say they're more likely to lose to Iowa State than beat Kansas State. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Here's
that,
a rogue.
That's a pretty 50-50 thing.
Someone said no one wants to see a whole lot of Sandlot football. That's Big 12 trash. You know, it's funny as A&M fans make fun of Big 12 football. I'm assuming it's an A&M fan. But A&M runs Big 12 offense, I mean, for all intents and purposes. I mean, they literally run the same offense as Tech in West Virginia. Now, they've done some different things this year, and they're starting to branch off of that air raid tree a little bit. But they're still on it. They're still in the same tree. They haven't jumped trees yet.
I mean, even Tech now runs the ball a lot.
Yeah, well, and so does Baylor. Baylor leads the nation in rushing right now.
Baylor leads it in rushing. They just get the plays off at a breakneck speed.
To me, it's not the running or passing. It's just it's the tempo that you play with. And everyone in the Big 12 plays up tempo because that's what they're recruiting
to. Does it. But they aren't really this year, but they can.
Not
like they've done. Yeah. It's almost like they pick their times.
Well, I think part of that is the defense. I think part of that is the young offense. They have young players, especially a quarterback. And I think part of it is the defense. I think they want to give them a chance to rest sometimes. Because you've seen times when A&M intentionally slows it down in the second half. They're not just playing slow. They're playing extra slow. They did that in the Mississippi State game a little bit. And I don't know if it was to give the defense a rest or what.
That's when I called it the prevent offense.
Yeah, they ran it some prevent offense. Yeah. So there you go. There you go. A few thoughts there. No one's for Texas. Everyone hopes to get killed. It's like this national.
It's like pile it on.
Well, that's the whole thing. We were talking about that yesterday
with
Sam.
Like, while you can, and it's so easy, just keep piling it on.
Like a national love of just watching Texas get buried right now. Yeah. And I think
It'd be like the same thing. If the same thing was going on with Ohio State, it'd be like that. It'd be just like that.
Yeah,
I think so.
I don't know that because Ohio State hasn't. And they've been good for a while, but they weren't Texas good for that long. They were good under Trestle, and then they went back down a little bit.
Plus
and they hired
that,
Meyer.
Plus, they have that the University of Ohio State.
The Ohio State University. Yeah. You know, I think it's also you need a team that has like a lot of arrogant fans. And maybe I don't live in Ohio. I know that up north, it's more of a pro sport place. So I just can't envision it being quite like every day like it is down here. The team that I could come up with that when they started to fail was the same thing was Miami. Because everyone was so tired of the U and all that stuff that when it started to go downhill, everybody was like ready and waiting.
Well, I've been told Ohio State Michigan games are like the worst when it comes to fans intending and hating each other, and no matter what the other one's done or where they stand or whatever. So,
someone asked a question. Tell you what, let's go to break and we'll come back and answer this question, Kroon, because the question is, given how Tech dismantled Arkansas and the fact that we struggled mightily, how do y'all think A&M would do in the Big 12? We're going to go to break and we'll come back and we will tackle that question. Hit us up, 229-1939. It's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
It's the best time of year to buy from the best farm and tractor retailer in the Brazos Valley, Norman G. Tractor. Get zero down payment, 0% financing, top dollar for your trade-in, and free delivery. Get the Kubota L2501F 25-horsepower two-wheel drive tractor with a 5-foot Land Pride shredder and a 5-foot Land Pride box blade with teeth. And $2,250 in rebates for only $11,245 or $1,600.
$60 per month. Want your tractor to do even more? Well, try the Kubota L2501 HST 25 horsepower tractor with four-wheel drive, Kubota front-end loader, 5-foot Land Pride shredder, and box blade with teeth. Get $2,250 in rebates. Pay only $18,145 or $231 per month. Why buy used when you can buy new with payments as low as these? That's why Normandy Tractor is known as the place to shop for all of your tractor, utility vehicle, and lawn equipment needs. Shop online at normandytractor.com, corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Normandy. And remember, nobody beats Normandy Tractor. Nobody.
Join the Brazos Valley Museum of Natural History for the Boonville Days Heritage Fair, Saturday, October 10th. Enjoy this free celebration of our heritage from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Activities will take place inside the museum and on the Brazos Center grounds. Learn about Brazos County's pioneer history, visit with characters in period costume, observe demonstrations of frontier skills and trades, see an authentic stagecoach, hear from a cowboy poet, and much more. Our activity area will keep children busy learning to make pinch pots and other period crafts. Boonville Days Heritage Fair, Saturday, October 10th at the Brazos Museum of Natural History, located at the Brazos Center.
It is time to go back in time. Bud Light invites you to join the fun of the Texas Renaissance Festival, beginning Saturday, October the 10th through Sunday, November 29th, including Thanksgiving Friday. Share in the merriment of hundreds of live performances, the taste of over 1,000 foods, and the fun of dozens of games and rides. Only a 50-acre theater could contain this much adventure. Tickets are now on sale at texrenfest.com. Don't miss the legendary revelry of the Texas Renaissance Festival. Brought to you by Bud Light. Huzzah!
October is here, but Halloween isn't till the 31st. But Rattlers has goodies for you every day, like Goodness Knows bars, 2 for only $3. Grab any size coffee or cappuccino to go with that for only 79 cents. Rattlers has in-store specials all the time, from hot dogs and chips to soft drinks. Make sure to stop by Rattlers on your way home from work and pick up any 12-pack from the fine families of beer, from Bud, Miller, and Coors, for only $10.99. Rattlers, friendly, clean, Texan.
If you're a high school senior with perfect attendance this year, you could win a new Scion from Atkinson Toyota Scion.
Sign up at AtkinsonItPaysToStay.com.
Spend your weekdays with Tex Ags Radio, Louie Bellina, Aggie Nation, and Chip Howard. Spend your weekdays with The Zone, FM 102.7, and Sports Radio 1150.
This speech is my recital. I think it's very vital to rock around. That's right, on top. It's tricky, it's tight.
Here we go. Welcome back, Aggie Nation, powered by The Eagle, Audrey Bloom, Richard Kroom. All right, that was the question before the break, Kroom. Given how Tech dismantled Arkansas and the fact that we struggled mightily, how do you think we A&M would do in the Big 12?
First of all, I kind of disagree with that. I don't think Tech dismantled Arkansas, and I'm struggled mightily for A&M is might be a little
went to
harsh.
Overtime. Kareem.
I know, but a that almost 10, sounds that struggled mightily sounds like you lost essentially to
a
me.
Top 10 team went to overtime and needed
needed a great.
Yeah,
great little
to beat
six
a team that
there,
to
yeah.
beat a team that lost to Toledo. Yeah. So that's struggled mightily.
Well, whatever. Okay, I'll give struggled mightily comes closer than dismantled.
Okay, you got to answer the question. You're lollygagging.
Well, see, I guess I am. I am lollygagging because I have trouble. I said that right when we went to the break. I said, "Wow, I might need the break to think about this because I'm still one of those guys who said." If A&M wouldn't have gone to the SEC that first year when Menzel played, they could have been in the national championship game because I'm not sure they would have had a loss. But at the same time, the only thing I can say about that statement is I don't know if their defense could have stopped every Big 12 team's
the
offense
other, there's
that year.
Also that's an
open because of the style that they run.
Well, that's getting off the. I'm not even going to go back on that thing, but the.
But well, I mean, it still kind of pertains.
Well, my thing is that there's a lot of layers there. If
right.
A&M wasn't going to the SEC, then they wouldn't have fired Mike Sherman, and they would have probably still had a lot more things going on. I think they needed a jolt going into the SEC. It was a big reason why they would have made a coaching change. Over a year that they were a bowl eligible team that year in the Big 12. So I think that Yeah, I think if you take A&M's 2012 football team and put them in the 2012 Big 12, that yeah, A&M would have had a chance to win the national title. But I don't think it's easy as saying that had A&M not gone to the SEC, they would have won the national title. Because I don't think a lot of the things that happened, I don't think would have happened. But that's a story for another day. The question, Kroom, you still haven't answered it.
I can't. I just don't know. I honestly don't know how that would work out. I think because I'd like to see A&M's defense against those, you know, against the Baylors and the TCU, who just, you know, the tempo of it. I mean, how often, you know, they talk about A&M talks about its depth now, and so maybe that would play in, and that would be a good thing for A&M. That would be one reason. That would be a positive for A&M against Big 12 teams because they do have some depth now. Here's my thing.
I think there are three teams in the Big 12 that are just as good as anyone in the SEC. On a given day, OU, Baylor, and TCU could beat LSU, Florida, Alabama, Ole Miss, and A&M.
I disagree with you.
The thing is, I think that there's more teams that you could lose to in the SEC. So if A&M played a whole Big 12 schedule, I think those three teams, Baylor, TCU, and Oklahoma, are the only teams that could beat them. I think they would fairly handily beat the rest of the Big 12. So
I agree with that.
I'm not necessarily saying they would win it. I'm not saying that A&M is necessarily better than TCU or better than Baylor, but I think they'd be right there in that tier to where for A&M, like it does for TCU and Baylor in Oklahoma, it comes down to essentially two games. Can you beat those other two teams? And
don't you think that's almost becoming that way now? I mean, A&M's going to win three games, essentially. And I know they...
No, but here's why I'm saying, because here's why I don't think that, because A&M could play bad. They could play horrible and still beat Oklahoma State, Kansas State, Texas, some of the other teams. They played not that awful and almost lost to Arkansas. If they played that, they played really, really well, and it was a one-possession game with Mississippi State in the second half, which a team that, like we mentioned, they had a drive where they could have gone down and tied the game. The only team in the West that I think they could play horrible and still beat is Auburn. Auburn is just a bad football team, but the Big 12 has like five Auburns right now, and they've got two teams probably worse than Auburn. If Iowa State and Kansas were playing Auburn, yeah, I would still expect
but
Auburn
if you split,
to win.
But you're also looking at just the West.
Right, and A&M's crossover opponents this year are easy.
In the Big 12, you don't have a split division. So, I mean, like if you had a split division, you could look at it and say, you know, Baylor, TCU, Texas, and A&M – and just name somebody else, could have been, or maybe even Oklahoma, could have been one of the divisions, then all of a sudden you're almost in the same spot.
No, yeah, I mean, potentially, but I'm just talking about this A&M team with this season and this Big 12 and the way it kind of worked out. For A&M, they did have an extremely beneficial schedule in the SEC by getting Vandy and South Carolina from the East, who are neither one of them are very good. So A&M has this close to a Big 12 schedule as you could have in the SEC. Yeah, in the SEC West. And they still have several teams they could play bad and lose to. So
they still have four
I think
or
their
five.
Schedule is harder than if it was in the Big 12. I think A&M would be right there with Baylor and TCU and Oklahoma.
Right.
It would just depend on where they played them, who was hot that day. We haven't seen A&M's defense play a team that'll stretch the field really yet. I'd like to see him play Ole Miss before.
I was going to say, when will you see that, though? I mean,
Ole Miss will go vertical a little bit.
A little bit, but SEC West is not a stretch the...
No, Auburn would have been if they were any good, but they're not. And A&M doesn't play Missouri and Florida out of the East who do some spread things,
Ole Miss would like to, but I don't know if they can do it as well because I'm not sure their offensive line can block long enough to allow them to do it.
Yeah, so we don't know exactly what A&M's defense would look like in the Big 12, but I think it'd be good enough. Like I said, I put them right there in that group. I wouldn't say that they're favored to win it. I also wouldn't say they were... you know, would finish middle of the pack. I think they'd be right there with those other three teams. And they're all kind of the same. Again, we don't know anything about those three teams because they haven't played each other yet either.
Yeah.
The only team we know a little bit about is Oklahoma, who beat a team that can't seem to win a game in Tennessee. Tennessee's going to almost win 10 games this year, but lose 8 because they can't win in the closing minutes. So, I don't know. Like I said, I put them right there. But I kind of the same way they are in the SEC right now. I think they're in that top tier of the SEC this season. I think they're in the top tier of the Big 12 this season. And that's kind of the whole thing. I think at the top, there's not a huge difference conference to conference. I think the top three in the Big 12 are fine. Now, they are thinner, which is fine because they're in the Big 12. They could survive some injuries.
Don't you think part of that question, though, was dealt with, would A&M done as well because of the style that those teams that are